So I'm sitting here in the dark, load shedding, of course, and my battery's on 13%, and I'm like, okay, what can I do? I'm tired of scrolling on Instagram, not because I'm tired of the content, but because it's my daughter, you know. Twitter, also the same. Like, I want to watch a lot of things. I've sent myself so many things to my DM so I can watch them when the Wi-Fi comes back on, because I do have data, right? But my data is like for NBNB things, like when I'm at the office. So I don't want to be wasting it when I'm at home, because technically I should be on Wi-Fi. So that is what's annoying me right now. It is the 21st of September and we are in stage 5 or 6. Or it was 5, now it's 6, and then from 6 it goes back to 5. I don't even think Eskom knows what stage we're on. I just think they know ukuthi basikabukise. And the real question I have is, what the F is happening in South Africa? Hello everyone, my name is Nokuhle Khumalo and this is just a rant about South Africa at the moment. It's very confusing. I'm confused and I'm sure you're also confused. And if you're not confused, stick around. Let me tell you why you need to be confused, because asazukwenzakalani, like, we don't know what's happening. Like, I don't have. Cool. So load shedding is like probably the best conversation starter these days. Literally, you just tell people, oh, load shedding. And then people go off about the traffic, the food that's going off in their fridges, gosh, having to go work at the office because you can't work at home anymore. And like, for me, I think the most shocking thing is the fact that we actually got to stage 6. I remember when load shedding started, I think we all thought stage 6 was like a scare tactic. Like, we were always on stage 2, 3, but like 6 was like, yo, at that point it's going to be super bad, you know. But now suddenly we're experiencing stage 6, and now we're looking at stage 8 like, yo, if we get there, that's like the worst. But you know what, I have a feeling we're going to get to stage 8 and then they're going to add a stage 12, stage 14. I don't even think it's going to end, guys. Like, I'm really ish. I don't want to sound like too pessimistic, but I mean, what's the plan? No one is talking. Our president, Bizilapuyo Ngabulezi, ni right, God? Ni right? Because mina ngazi noma ngiraitini.
You are listening to Ask Miss K, and I'm just ranting about how upset I am about load shedding. The name is Nokuhle Khumalo, and I hope you're enjoying this podcast.
Things are just not looking great, and I think as the youth, we probably worry the most. I'm not saying that our parents don't care. They probably do, but I mean, for us, it's like, we still have, ideally, we still have a good 60 years ahead of us, okay? And our parents, maybe not so much. So it's like, where is South Africa going to go? Like, and I think the question is, what needs to happen for South Africa to get to where it needs to be? And obviously, I know there are other countries that are suffering way more than South Africa. And you, like, South Africa is actually known to be quite a pretty great country, great tourist spot, blah blah blah. But the reality is that as much as it's great, it could also do a lot better. Like, we can do a lot better. Like, electricity, I've covered. Unemployment is actually so disheartening. And when you look at the stats, it's like, okay, stats. But then when you try to think of people you know, and you think of your family, your friends, and you realize, well, see, actually, this is not just a random stat. This is actually happening. And this is impacting, like, our families and our livelihoods. And even if you are working, you still feel the impacts of unemployment. And I know it sounds like, oh, people who are employed are now trying to be like the center or the main character in other people's struggles. But literally, unemployment affects everyone. Even if you're employed, it still affects you. It affects the way you live. It affects the way you spend your money. Because, you know, there's less people like contributing to the GDP and everything. Unemployment, like, impacts all of us, and I don't even want to get into it because this is not a podcast on economics. If you want to check out those, you can literally go search Bruce whatever and money talks and all of those things. I actually like those podcasts. Shout out to Taps for recommending. But NJ, South Africa right now is not looking great. If it's not potholes, it's poor service delivery. If it's not that, it's the fuel prices. And okay, with fuel, I get it. It's not only South Africa, because I mean the war, the Russia versus what again? I can't even remember, but that Russian, oh gosh. But that war that happened, yeah, that's also impacting our fuel, obviously. And I'm just tired. Like, I am just so tired. I'm exhausted. I don't even know what I want to do. I don't even have the energy to think about how I can, you know, try do my part. And unfortunately, what is starting to appeal to me is leaving, you know, and I know it's not just me. I know it's a lot of my peers. And what's going to happen is that South Africa is going to get a brain drain, which is when your qualified people leave the country, they immigrate because they know that they can work elsewhere for much better salaries and live in, you know, better countries, essentially. And when you watch these TikToks and you watch people who used to live in South Africa or other African countries who have moved to the UK, the US, it always seems pretty great. But is it really better? Like, is it really as good as it looks? And I'm a bit skeptical, I'm not going to lie. But I think I'll just have to feel it myself to believe it, if that makes sense.
You are listening to Ask Miss K, and I'm just ranting about how upset I am about load shedding. The name is Nokuhle Khumalo, and I hope you're enjoying this podcast.
And seriously, as young professionals in South Africa, I think right now you have one of three options. Number one, you stay in South Africa and you try fix it. Number two, you leave South Africa, you go make money elsewhere, and then you come back to a hopefully fixed country. Or number three, you leave South Africa completely. Option three for me, which is leaving South Africa completely, is not practical. It's not going to happen, not for me, and I'm assuming not for a lot of South Africans. And this is just because, like, when you're leaving your home country, like, you're actually leaving a lot more than people, you know, make it seem. You're leaving your family, you're leaving your friends, your emotional support and all of that. And a lot of us don't have relatives abroad. Or maybe let me just say myself, let me speak from my perspective. My family is actually mainly situated in KZN, which is a province in South Africa. And hardly anyone has actually left KwaZulu-Natal. So even moving to Joburg or going to study in Cape Town was quite a big jump. I don't want to say big jump and make it seem like, you know, I did things. No, but I'm saying I went from seeing my family every week, like my extended family every week, to, you know, only seeing them when I went home, when I went to KZN. So now if you're leaving the country completely, that's even going to reduce, like you're going to see your family even lesser. So it's not practical. It's not something that I'm looking to do. I'm someone who actually thrives from my family support, having familiar faces, knowing I can, like, rely on people, lean on them if I need to. Also, like, you know, when people are celebrating things, I want to be there. I actually have such bad FOMO when my family has brides or parties, because I'm like, oh, I should have been there. Now, how much worse will it be when I'm not even in the country? So option three, not going to work for me. Option two, which is to leave South Africa and come back later, is probably the most tempting one, I won't lie. But unfortunately, nothing is guaranteed, okay? Like, when you leave, how do you know that you're going to come back to a South Africa that's fixed, you know? There's no magic words that people can say to fix the country. And if you, as one of the young professionals, one of the smart people, one of the talented, educated people are leaving, who are you really leaving behind to fix a country? Are you leaving these old people who should have retired many years ago and trusting them once again? Because, yeah, that doesn't really seem like the smartest thing to do, right? And also, people argue that even though the salaries abroad seem
like relatively high, the cost of living is also quite high. So often people will actually leave South Africa but live humble lives abroad, and then you just have to ensure that you're saving enough so that when you come back to South Africa, you're all set up, you've got like substantially a lot of money and you can do things, just to make sure that, you know, you have a stable foundation here in South Africa when you come back. I know there was a time where a lot of nurses were leaving, going to the UK. I think the UK needed quite a lot of healthcare professionals. So a lot of nurses were leaving, a lot of doctors were leaving. It was from South Africa, and I think Zimbabwe also had a lot of their health professionals leaving. And obviously the money was great. I know my mom was considering it, but thank God she decided not to. She actually went, I think she went to like the, they had like a training or like a roadshow to tell people, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go to the UK. This is what you'll earn, blah, blah, blah. So I know my mom went to one of those things. And I think it was like a week long conference out of the province that we lived in. And then when she came back from that, she drove in, and my older brother and I were playing on the street with our friends, like no hopscotch. So when my mom was coming back, she saw us on the road, and we also saw her. And then obviously she was very emotional because she had missed us. I think it was the first time my mom had actually been away from us, and I was probably 5 and my brother was probably 6. So we were still pretty young. And then she got out of her car. Got out of the car, I think my dad had fetched her, walked down, and then she called out our names, like, to come to her. So we sort of ran towards her, waved, and said, "Hi, Lindy, wubuyile," and we went back to, like, go play hopscotch or donkey or whatever we were playing. And apparently that broke my mom's heart. Like, I think she's still traumatized till this day, and that was her decision to say, nah, she's not leaving. She was so disappointed at how little attention we paid to her when she came back, because she had missed us so much. And she was like, she was only gone for a week, and her kids were already so disassociated with her. Like, we really didn't care. I think we were just super excited to play with our friends, bro. But anyways, my mom took that super deeply, and she was like, now imagine if I go and I work in the UK for all these years. When I come back, my kids are going to call me like lo auntie, lo sisi, lo na, like, you know, she's going to be a stranger to us. So she was like, no, she's not going to do that. And I appreciate that, man. I really appreciate that my mom did that, not going to lie. Because yeah, I don't think growing up without my mom would have been the best. But luckily for me, I didn't have a kid, so I can still consider going abroad for a bit. And not to say that if you have a kid, you can't go abroad. Definitely you can. Like, there are different circumstances. Obviously, you and your partner or your husband will decide, you know, what's best for you guys. And, you know, some people actually take their kids abroad. It's literally an option. And some people can actually afford to come back quite often. But I think, you know, in most scenarios, well, at least in my scenario, in my mom's scenario, it was like, once you're there, you only come back once a year. So, you know, you better be sure. You are listening to Ask Miss K, and I'm just ranting about how upset I am about load shedding. The name is Nobuhle Khumalo, and I hope you're enjoying this podcast.
And then lastly, option one, which is to stay in South Africa and try fix it. This is probably like the toughest one. I really think this is a tough one. And people will probably end up doing this, not because they want to fix the country, but mainly because they're probably just scared to take the leap. It's very hard to just jump when you don't know where you're going to land, especially if you have people that are relying on you. The reality is that people actually support families, people support their siblings, their kids, their parents, and all of that. So it's not very simple to just say, oh, I'm up and leaving, I'm going to blah, blah, blah. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to try it out and see if I can make a success. That's quite a privileged thing to do. That's quite a privileged thing to be able to say, because it's like, if you don't make money, no one is affected. The only person that is affected is you. And that's fine. But if you're someone who's like responsible for more than yourself, more than just one person, it becomes a lot harder to take such risks, because you know what? Your risk appetite becomes super low, because you know what? Every single rand counts
I don't want to say every cent counts, because we're not dealing with cents here, but every rand counts, right? And also, like, even with staying in South Africa, there's a lot that South Africa can do. There's a lot of potential. There is a lot of potential. It's just that I don't know if we are going to have the opportunity to tap into it. You are listening to Ask Miss K, and I'm just ranting about how upset I am about load shedding. The name is Nokuhle Khumalo, and I hope you're enjoying this podcast. So the real question here, guys, is what are we going to do? Like, what is our generation going to do to change things around? I think we're quite disheartened, I won't lie. Usually people get super excited about elections because, yes, change is going to come. But I think for us, we're like, oh my word, really? Like, even if elections were tomorrow, like, I think I'm very confused. I wouldn't even know who to vote for. And I know my dad always gets a bit annoyed when I say this, because I'm always like, I can't, like, you're making me choose the better devil, but they're all just bad. And my dad's like, no, you know, it's your right and your responsibility as a citizen to vote. And I fully understand that, guys, and I fully get it. But at this point, it's like, who would you vote for? Like, I need qualified people in there. I need people who know what they're doing. I need people who studied this, who've done research, who know what we need, who know how to get us out of there. And those are people who are qualified, people who've studied for it. Not people who were just involved in apartheid, and then apartheid is like now their qualification. Literally, their CV just says apartheid or whatever. I don't need that. And I'm like, it's a very tricky thing to say in South Africa, of course, because our history is very complex. But I think at this point, we've reached a point where those old freedom fighters have forgotten what freedom they were fighting for. And it's now just about greed. And your guys, and like, you can try defend them. But when you look at like ministers' children and, well, their kids and stuff, and they are living, yo, those people are living, it frustrates me so much, because it's like, you know what, ayiko failing. But also on the flip side, where now, would you not chow money when your parents had it? Unfortunately, it's not their parents' money, like, it's not for them to have, but I mean, it's already there, so just chow it. And I mean, you know, if your parents go down, it's fine, at least you will say that upilile, you lived. But yeah, I'm just wishy-washy about the whole thing. I really wish we had competent people in there. And it's not easy to say, okay, vote for the other party. Like, I don't know if I can trust the other parties. Some parties are like borderline racist, other parties are like too radical, and like, ngathi sovuka kuyi toy toy kusha mabhilidi nje. Like, there's no political party that I can fully back, and maybe it's time that we actually start our own political party, a combination of all of the good qualities that we can pick out from all these different parties. Because I won't lie, like, they all do have good qualities, they all do have good points, but they also have a lot of shit points as well. And I don't know if I'm willing to accept the nonsense. But, you know, for all of them to coexist, I think they need each other, because the one party literally spends their whole life, their whole campaign is just to say, we are anti-ABC, whatever. I don't want to say political names. But anyway, some parties are just anti-ABC. Like, ah, ABC has done this, we reject this, okay? Another party is just like, no, EBA, I have, how? In, like, no party has come across and just said, this is our stance, this is what we believe in, this is what we'll do, and we need your vote to help us. Or maybe they have. Maybe they have. I just don't know about it, because their marketing is not that great. There are a couple of political parties, like Maning, it's just that we only see the top five, top seven when we're actually voting, which is, you know, probably bad, but I don't know, guys. What do you guys think? I also think, like, in today's age, like, social media is like the best place ever, and can be free if you use it wisely. So I feel like even nama parties la
are under the radar, that are not known, I really think if they devote themselves and they do the right campaigns, they can really get a lot of support through social media. But yeah, it's tricky, Lento. This is what you call impica badala. And honestly, angisabathembi abadala. So impica badala, impica zingane, impica youth, impica yonke into nje. But anyways, I'm very confused. I don't know about you.
You are listening to Ask Miss K, and I'm just ranting about how upset I am about load shedding. The name is Nokuhle Khumalo, and I hope you're enjoying this podcast.
Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Nokuhle Khumalo, and this was my rant about what the hell is happening in South Africa. Stay safe, guys, and I hope you guys are not in load shedding like I am. Oh my word, side note, ukes ubuye like 30 minutes ago. I just didn't realize because when I got back from work, I obviously didn't switch on the lights because bekusane ilanga, like it was still bright. And then when ukesi went, I mean, I'm not going to switch on ukesi ongekho. So when it came back, I didn't realize it was ubuyile. And for some reason, I didn't hear my microwave because that's usually what indicates would say, sesi on ubuyile ukesi. So I've just spent about 30 minutes in the dark for nothing. But you know what? I still blame Eskom. Zonke inga zam siqala ngo Eskom.